Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Is he your everything tonight? Amen. He's the center of everything. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could stand tonight and sing another song. I caught her. Did you see that? I caught her. Seeing if you're paying attention. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. I do want to sing another song. That's all right. Amen. We don't want to get in a routine. Amen. I have no idea what key. I got to tell you the song first. I just felt like seeing God alone tonight. Is that all right? Amen. I know we sing that a lot, and it's certainly one of my favorite songs, and I have no idea what key. Amen. Amen. But once you begin to look, once you begin to look at the storm like Peter did when he was walking on the water, and he began to look at the waves, and he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he began to sink. Amen. But when you begin to look through your trials and look through your situation and you see God alone in the situation, amen, that's when we have the victory, amen. When we keep our eyes on Him, amen. Let's just worship Him a little here tonight. Can we do that? Amen. Just kind of shake off, you know, maybe any weariness, any formality. And, you know, Sunday night, we've done this before. Routine. Amen. Just shake that off. We serve a mighty God tonight. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God. Just the way it is. You're the only God. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give.
Amen.
in the good times and bad. Amen. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Where is his throne tonight? Where is his throne? Amen. It's in your heart. Amen. He's God on the throne tonight. Amen. There's none like our God. There's none like our Father. Amen. Amen. There's none that can compare. Amen. And he's our Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sure appreciate that song special tonight. Amen. That was real good. Amen. Amen. I was looking at our brother Andrew sitting on the front row here with all these brothers and thinking, there's a choir there. And they're shaking their head. No. Amen. Just as the Lord leads. Amen. We appreciate our brother stepping out. Amen. Yeah. Did a good job. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews tonight. We'll take part two of the subject we started this morning, because he promised. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, he says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, we just commit this time to you, Lord, and Lord, your word is eternal, Lord, and that's what we're resting on tonight, Lord, that you are the unchangeable God, Lord, and when you say something, that's the way it is for eternity, and Lord, we believe that tonight, and we're thankful that you've revealed your word to us, Lord, and you're continuing to unveil it to us, and we pray that that would just be unveiled just a little bit more tonight, Father, that it would just be a little bit more real to us. Lord, that we might just maybe be able to take that next step, Lord, to maybe to shake off those demons that are trying to anoint us, Lord, or trying to hold us back, Father, Lord, from taking our next step. Lord, I just pray that you'll just bless this time, bless our hearts, Lord, bless our minds, Father. Use my lips, Father, for your glory. May everything be said for your glory and honor. We just thank you and praise you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. So, this morning we were looking at some of the covenants, amen, of the Scripture, and recognizing that a covenant, it's like a contract, right? It's something, it's an agreement between parties. It could be two or more. But in this case, we're talking about covenants between God and man. Amen. And this contract lays out in it what the two parties, the actions that they will take, or what they will provide, or what they will bring to the contract, right? And sometimes if you know, maybe there's a contract between two parties, as I mentioned this morning, purchasing something, one would provide the goods, the other provide the means or whatever. And so both parties in a covenant or a contract, they have a part in it. Amen. And you know, in our modern ways, when we make a contract, usually there's something written up and we sign it, and maybe we shake hands on it to signify that we're it's a binding contract. We're giving our word on it, and we're putting our name on it, our reputation at stake. But there were many different traditions through different cultures and such that have different ways of finalizing a contract. But in the time of the Bible and in those lands, when they would make a contract, they would handle it by making a sacrifice and then splitting the sacrifice. It meant tearing it in half, and then they would take the contract, and one would have one half and the other would have the other, and it was a sign that this was a unique bond, and it was something that if they broke the contract, let me be like that animal that was sacrificed, right? It was a way of passing their bond or their word, putting their reputation on it. Amen. That they were going to hold up their end of the bargain, that they were going to make good on their part of the contract, whatever that was, right? And so then we left off talking or looking at the covenant or the contract, right? The covenant that we are under, which is the covenant of grace. Amen. And just like the covenant that God made with Abraham, the covenant that we have through Christ is a covenant of grace, and it's a covenant of election. Yes. Amen. Amen. It was God choosing. Yes. Amen. It was God before the foundation of the world deciding. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. And it's about grace. When it comes to fulfilling the requirements of the covenant, it's all on one side. It's all God saying, I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do that. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to save you and cleanse you, and I will, and I will, and I will, right? And our part is to simply enter into the contract. Amen. Amen. Surrender to it. Amen. Amen. To put our name, sign our name on the dotted line and say, yes, Lord. Amen. Let me, take me, Lord. I'm yours. Amen. So, one of the things that I mentioned this morning was that how election and predestination and the unconditional contract have nothing to do with our works. Right? There's nothing that we can do to that earns us what's in that contract, right? That's not written in there. If you have to do this and this and this and this, right? The part that we have to do is by surrendering all the things that it's written for us to do, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, surrender, allow the Holy Spirit to come in and cleanse us and fill us with His Spirit. Let us be born again, amen? Yeah. Surrendering to Him, let us be converted. That is what enters us into the contract. Once we've entered into that rest, we've labored to enter into that rest, now we're under that contract, and there's nothing, there's no works for us to do under the contract. Amen? And then, so whenever we begin to speak about that type of grace, amen, there's always, there's always something that rises up. There's always a spirit that wants to bring in, wants to bring in the legalism aspect of it, right? But what we're talking about, brother, sister, is election to its fullest extent. The full revelation of grace and election. And Brother Branham said, you had nothing to do with it. Amen. Amen? But we have to combat carnal thinking. Amen. Amen? We have to combat the carnal thinking about works. Amen. Make no mistake. This bride, those that are elected, those that are under this covenant, they will be spotless. They will live lives beyond reproach. Amen? They will, in fact, be the ultimate revelation of holiness in this age, of a holy people. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought this wasn't about works. Well, I just read it to you from Hebrews 13, where he said, he will make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So, in fact, if you look at the contract, that is also in his column to do. Holiness in your life is his promise. That he would make you perfect in every good work. That he would work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Brother, sister, that's why we can have rest. Amen. Amen. That's why the labor is entering into that rest. Making your calling and election sure. Making sure that you're sealed. Amen. And then it's up to him to work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We will be an example to all people in holiness. Because the people of this covenant are the only ones. The only ones that have the Holy One in them. Amen. Now we're not talking, of course, about sinless perfection, right? In your flesh, you will continue to make mistakes, right? But we are talking about the redeemed soul, of course. Amen. That redeemed soul will be living such that it is ruling and reigning over your flesh.
Amen.
Living in victory.
Yes.
Amen. Overcoming sin in our members. Overcoming sin in this age. Amen. That power to overcome sin is part of the contract. It's part of the covenant. Christ working in you what is well-pleasing to him. Amen. So, the problem is that it's the age-old problem of works versus faith. Right? And people look at outward works and they want to take that as a sign that they are under the covenant. Amen? And people, it's easier for them to do things on their own than surrender to him many times. Amen. Right? Amen? People are happy to stay. That's why people like the Catholic, stay in the Catholic system. Right? Because they can just, the church says, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be all right. Right? And they say, okay, all I have to do is go down the list and check the box. And in the Catholic system, now when I say Catholic system, I'm not talking about just the Catholic Church. I'm talking about that spirit. Amen? It's not just in the Catholic Church. In fact, every denomination is born off of that tree, right? Off of that harlot system. People are happy to stay in dead legalistic churches because as long as they can check the box and satisfy what the church says, amen, they check off the to-do list, amen, then they can live however they want and be okay because the church says they're okay. Amen, that's a Catholic system. Because the church says I'm okay, there's no death to self, there's no surrender, there's no crucifying your flesh. Amen? I just you know, check off the box. Those people are, in fact, married to their church. Amen. Married to that Catholic denomination system. It doesn't matter if it has a message title on it or not. Amen? That's not how his covenant works. His covenant works in that we are joined to Christ. Right. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. We are in a union with him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And our part of that is not to check off a to-do list. Our part is that of that is to commit ourselves wholly to him. God, I'm yours. Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want to do, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender.
Amen.
Have your way, O God. I commit myself to you as part of your bride.
Right.
Amen? He's the head. I'm part of the body. Lord, whatever you say, I surrender to you completely. Allow him to convert us. Amen. Brother Branham said that, you know, in his time, he was talking about Billy Graham and how that particular move that was on the land during the time where they were looking for conversions. Amen. And they were calling people converts when they really weren't converts. And we do that today too, brother, sister. It's just a little more subtle because it's in the message. We say, well, they're in the message. We call them a convert. Amen. But he said, they're converts. He said, he made the example, oh, Billy Graham, you know, he would say he'd have these meetings and he'd have all these thousands and thousands of converts come back a couple years later and couldn't find, you know, however many, just a handful of them, right? And Brother Branham said, that's because they weren't converted. Amen. They came in and they had an intellectual experience or what have you. Amen. But they weren't converted. They weren't truly converts. They actually didn't come into that covenant relationship with Christ. That rebirth puts us into a fresh covenant with him. Amen. It marries us. Hallelujah. It writes his law on our hearts. Amen. That's why we obey, is because the law is written in our souls. Amen. That old sin nature dies and we're converted. And in our soul, there's no unbelief. Our soul just believes. It's faith. Amen. And so that's how we are under that covenant. Now, we're told that there's a marriage taking place right now. Is that right? We know that we're going to a marriage supper, but there is a marriage. There's a union. Brother Branham called it the invisible union that's taking place right now between Christ and his body here on earth, right? Christ uniting with each individual of the body, then placing them into the body as a whole as he marries the bride body. Is that right? The bride, or this body, then is tied to the covenant and being placed in that body entitles you to everything that's in that contract. Amen. Amen? Being placed in that body. Full access. Full membership. It's like a club, right? You join the country club, you've got full access. You can use anything. Amen? When you don't join, but when you're born into that body, you've got full access. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that body is tied to the covenant. And he places you into that body. Brother Branham called it the body of gifts. Right? Amen. That means that you can say every promise is mine. Amen. Now, he is not uniting with sin, is he? He wouldn't do that, right? But he is uniting with a body that's been washed by his blood. Amen. She's actually a part of him. She's actually bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. And this, just as a husband and wife. Amen. Remember, this is the original union, a husband and wife. It's forever, right? Because Eve was a part of Adam. Right. He came out, or she came out of him. Yep. Amen. Yep. And the bride body of Christ came out of him. Right. Amen. Amen. We were in him at Calvary. Right. Amen. She was pulled out of him. And that's an everlasting covenant. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, right? Cannot be separated. What God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Amen. Now, and so a husband or a wife, you know, I mentioned this morning how, you know, Brother Branham would say that God is obligated to fulfill his word, right? Well, if you think about a husband to his wife, a husband is obligated to his family, right? But it's not like it's a chore, right? It's not like we're asking him to do something against his will, right? We're not asking him, we're not putting him out, you know, we're not inconveniencing him. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so's asking for healing again, right? It's not like he's paying alimony. Amen? You don't have to shame him into providing what he's already promised. It's his will, it's his desire, it's his pleasure. Because that's, we are part of his bride, his wife. Amen? He wants to make, the reason he made the promises is so that he can be that for you. Amen. He wants to make those promises live in your life. He's working out our redemption. Amen? He's our high priest. And he's obligated himself to do that. As we heard Brother Baker preaching the other night about, or the other day or the night, I don't remember which, amen, about how like Boaz, he said, "You rest, I'm going to go take care of this." Amen? That was his promise. I'm going to handle it. He's obligated himself to take care of your redemption. Amen? He's going to fulfill it because that's his desire. Boaz wanted Ruth. That's why he was doing it. He couldn't wait. It wasn't like, you know, this horrible chore. Well, you know, today I got to go to the grocery store and then I got to, you know, pick up the dry cleaning. And oh, there's right. That's right, Ruth. Yeah, I need to take care of that off my to-do. Come on. He loved her. Amen. He wanted her. Amen. And Brother Branham said he wouldn't rest until he completed that. She was resting, trusting in him. But he had obligated himself and he's working out her redemption. Amen? Our high priest is offering, he's the one that's mediating on our behalf, brother, sister. Because he loves us. He loves you tonight. Amen? Amen. Amen. You have worth to him. Amen. Like the song was sung. Amen. He thought I was worth it. Yes. And brother, sister, he thought you were worth it before the foundation of the world. Before you did anything good or anything bad or anything at all. He thought you were worth it. Hallelujah. Come on, isn't that good news tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's read a little quote here. God's provided place of worship. He said he had a covenant with Adam, the first man on earth, and that covenant was on condition. If you do so-and-so, I'll do so-and-so. Adam had something to do in order to keep this covenant alive before God. He had to walk in God's ways, keeping all his word, not breaking one word. But then he made another covenant, and that was with Abraham. And this covenant was not on conditions, but it was unconditionally. God gave the covenant to Abraham, no strings tied to it at all. Unconditional. Not I will, I have. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, sister, we look back at it because we can say, well, he has already done it because Calvary was in the past. Right? But those that are predestinated, he has. I've already done it. He said, that's the law that Christians must live by. You must live by what he has already done for you. He said, it's not what we do ourselves, but what he has done for us. Christ has already been sacrificed. Not he will be, he has been. It's a finished product. He lived, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, has come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. So it's a finished work with God. Christ, knowing no sin, became my sin that I might stand in his place. He took my place. I was in him at Calvary when he died. There I must die with him to live, because the law of sin and death is in the body, and you have to die to be reconciled to him. Amen. This covenant is a finished product. Amen. God's word, it's complete. Amen. He was judged already, and we were judged in him. We've already been judged. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Free. No debt. Amen. No sin hanging over us.
Right.
Owing nothing. Amen.
Amen.
We could come boldly to God's throne.
Amen.
And it's not a judgment throne for us, because we've already been judged.
Right.
He already took my place,
Amen,
that I might take his place and stand with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 That devil's not going to acknowledge that he's already defeated, but I got news for him. He's already defeated. Amen. He's not going to stop a single son or daughter of God. He can't do it. There's no way possible for him to do it. Every son and daughter of God is predestinated, and the enemy can do nothing about it tonight. Hallelujah. He may try, but we have promises. Amen. He battles. Oh, sure, he battles. Amen. It even looks like sometimes he might get the upper hand in the battle. Amen. Sometimes it feels like when the enemy rushes in like a flood, it feels like maybe he's got something on me. Amen. Maybe he's got some power, but no, those that are under the covenant are the people of the promise. Amen. The angel of that covenant is here to make sure that the people of the promise receive what's coming to them. Oh my, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that the angel of the covenant is here tonight? Do you believe that he's here to make those promises good?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know. Amen. 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 Psalm 34:7. You know, I don't know, brother, sister, what it was like in the wilderness when that pillar of fire began to move. But you know how it worked, right? Wherever that pillar of fire went, as soon as it began to move, they're like, oh, it's time to go. God is moving. Right? And they packed up everything, and then wherever it stopped, they stopped.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs of that. You know, maybe there are scholars that know that or whatever, how close they were able to get to it, how big it was. But I can almost guarantee you this, they were in awe. They were in awe of God in their midst,
Amen,
in their presence. Amen? Amen. Now, we need to know that he's with us.
Amen.
We've got to know that. Amen?
Yes.
Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about all them that fear him and delivereth them. Amen. Now, is that your scripture tonight?
Amen.
Are you going to accept that as part of your covenant?
Yes.
That belongs to me.
Yes.
Amen. I am part of that. Them that fear him, if it's a reverential fear, and the only way that you would have that is because God has done something for you in your life. God has called you, and the bride has that more than anybody else, because his Holy Spirit dwells in her. Amen.
Yes.
So this is your promise. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. Amen. Hallelujah. He says that great angel of the covenant that was that one who was with Moses in the wilderness. The one who come to Paul on the road to Damascus. The same one permitted his picture to be taken with us. The same one that was in the picture in Life magazine the other day. The same word by the same God through the same channels, by the same way, by the same promise. And then he says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name. I think we got it. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. He says, then he's here. We can say that tonight, then he's here. The angel of the covenant is here to make good on every promise that belongs to the believer. Brother Branham says, the angels of God are encamped around those who fear him, that hangs only to his word. No man can respect that word without fearing God. See, then he is here. He is in here this morning with us as we worship him in the spirit. And we say he is here tonight as we worship him in the spirit. We worship him in truth. Amen. Ephesian church age, he says, these seven messengers are making God known to the people. He that receiveth them receiveth him that sent them. John 13:20, they speak and act upon his authority, and he stands behind them with all the power of the Godhead. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. Amen? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world, the consummation of the ages. So there they are, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, on fire with the fire of God, holding forth the word of truth, and there he stands to back them up. Think of it, not one believer in any age need cry in his heart, oh, that I might have been back there in that first age when the apostles were first sent. No, there is no need to look back. Look up. Behold him who even now, walking in the midst of the churches through the ages, behold him. Amen? What does behold him mean? It means look. Pay attention. Look for him. Be aware of his presence. Behold him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who never changes either in essence or in his ways. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in their midst. Not only in their midst as a complacent onlooker, I like this, or as a recording angel. In other words, he's not just standing back, yep, I'm here, just seeing what's going on, right? But he stands there expressing exactly what he is, the life and sustainer and giver of all good gifts to the church. Hallelujah. You say, but I can't feel him. I can't see him. How do I know that he's here? How do I know that he's working in my life? Amen? How do I know that he is mindful of my situation? Because he promised. Amen. He promised. Yes. Because he promised. Yes. He is in every situation in your life because he promised. He is with us here tonight because he promised. He's working in your life because he promised. He said, I will be with you, even in you, unto the end of the age. He promised. Yes. Brother, sister, we have to have two things settled in our minds forever to be able to receive anything from God. We have to look at a promise and say, is it for me? Amen? Is it part of the covenant that belongs to me? Is it for me? And number two, is the one who made the promise faithful? You can read it in the contract. But then the one who gave their word and said, I will do it, our Father, is he faithful to do it? Yes. And a if those two things are true, then nothing can stop it. Hallelujah. As I mentioned this morning, the Bible says in, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 11, right? Where, that's the faith chapter, right? Where it said that Sarah judged him faithful who made the promise. Amen. God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah, and she said, he's trustworthy. I can trust him. Amen. It didn't mention her laughing up her sleeve, right? It didn't mention her moments of weakness or doubt. It didn't mention Abraham, you know, and his mess ups with Ishmael and all of that. It didn't mention that. But she judged him faithful who had made the promise. Hallelujah. They'd been walking for a long time looking for the fulfillment of that. Amen. But that covenant didn't have anything to do with time. Amen. This covenant doesn't expire. It suddenly doesn't just get moldy and like, oh, well, that's, you know, statute of limitations and all. Oh, that was, man, that was so, you know, 1990s. I don't know, whatever. Right? That was, everybody wants the new stuff, right? It doesn't expire. It doesn't lose its effect. It's not like, you know, medicine that you buy and it's got the expiration date on it. Right? Or food and it's like, use by. I don't know. It might be okay. Right? You take a chance. Well, it's close enough. Amen. His promises don't have those kind of expiration dates. They don't have those kind of limitations. They're not bound by time. Amen. That promise is good no matter how long it takes. It will happen. Amen? It will come. That land was promised to Abraham's natural seed. That's why they call it the promised land. Right? I know that's a little Bible lesson, right? We call it the promised land because he promised the land to them. Amen. So we just shorten it up and call it the promised land. Amen. Because he made a promise. So that's yours. Amen. Well, they were trapped down in Egypt for hundreds of years. They were trapped in sin, trapped by the world, trapped by the devil and his world system. Amen. He's like, I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen. He raises up Pharaoh who doesn't recognize, doesn't know Joseph, the Bible says. He raises up a Pharaoh that turns against the children of Israel and puts them in bondage and puts them in slavery. I'm going to bury them so deep. He made a powerful nation in Egypt. Amen. And put them in chains to make sure that that promise never gets fulfilled. Man, did you ever think about that? The Messiah was supposed to come through that line. So Satan says, I'm going to put them in bondage. Amen? I'm going to take the elect in that day. I'm going to heap so much sin on them. I'm going to bury them in sin. Amen? I'm going to make sure that I'm going to perfect my Eden, Satan says. And I'm going to make sure that nobody can serve God in that time. But the promise was still true. Amen. The covenant was still made. It still held. Amen. That unconditional covenant, it didn't matter what Israel was doing. They were down there in Egypt. It didn't matter. Right. The covenant to Abraham was unconditional. Amen. That covenant then rose up a Moses, watched over Moses. Yes. Amen. As Pharaoh tried to kill him. Just like Satan tries to kill the seed of God. Amen? But that covenant was watching over him. He goes floating down the Nile. Amen? It looks completely hopeless. All the hopes of Israel pinned to a little baby floating down the river. I mean, you wouldn't give them very good odds to make it. But the covenant, the unconditional covenant that God made with Abraham watched over him. It held on to him. It delivered him straight to Pharaoh's house. Raised him up under Pharaoh's nose. The one that tried to kill him was nourishing him. That's our God, amen. That's the kind of covenant that he made with his people. Amen. The one that tries that intends evil, God turns it for our good. Every time Satan comes against you, all he's doing is refining the gold. Glory to God. Amen. He raises up Moses right under the nose of that Pharaoh. Amen. And then that covenant begins to stir in Moses. Amen. And we know the story. We don't have to go through the whole thing, right? He gets expelled from Egypt, and God meets him in the burning bush, and he comes back, and they begin to desire to be free from Egypt, and the covenant, the promise that God made, begins to move, begins to act. Amen. It begins to stir things up in the land of Egypt. It begins to crush Pharaoh. It begins to do miracles, proclaim the word of God. It delivers them with a mighty hand.
Amen.
They come up to a Red Sea, and it looks like there's no way that they can survive but the covenant.
Amen.
Amen. God is still honoring the unconditional promise that he made. And even when Israel is complaining, amen, and they're saying, we want to go back, that unconditional covenant is still holding. And it eventually raises up a Joshua and a Caleb. And something stirs in their heart. Amen. And they say, we are able to go over and take the land. And they lead the people to a Jericho. Amen. And they come up against armies and cities that are fortified. They come against enemies that are giants and are stronger than them. But the covenant is still in effect. Hallelujah. Amen. So when they walk in the covenant, amen, they tear down walls of the enemy. They send giants fleeing. They walk into their promises. They take possession of their mountains. And the enemy goes fleeing before them. Brother, sister, our covenant is one of power. Amen. There's power behind it because you've been given a promised land. Amen. You've been given a promised land where your blessings lay. Amen. And it's the land of the Holy Ghost. And you can slay any giant that's trying to take that land. Amen. That tries to get in your way. Why? You can take any giant. You don't have to be afraid of any. Why? Because he promised. Because he promised it to you. Caleb could take that mountain because it was promised to him. Amen. We're just like David before the giants. Small. Amen. Little. Not relying on our own strength because we have none. But that giant's got to fall.
Amen.
That giant, those giants fall to our left and to our right.
Yes.
Because we're staying with the promise.
Yes.
That he made. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. None can keep you from your promised land. Amen. You say, you know, I can't. I'm not strong enough. Yes, that's true. But this promise was made before the foundation of the world. So it has nothing to do with what you can or can't do. It has nothing to do with your strength. It's elective, unconditional.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. You say, well, I do all these things. I'm a good message believer. I come to church. I listen to the tapes. That's good. Amen. But it isn't that. Amen. The promise doesn't have anything to do with what you do or don't do. Ooh, God. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't come to church and you shouldn't listen to the tapes and all that, right? No, of course. Amen. Brother Branham put it like this. He said, I quit my lying, I quit my stealing, I quit my cheating. He said, that's all good. That's all moral things. But that doesn't have anything to do with it. There's a lot of moral people that will go to hell. Amen. Doing all those things doesn't have anything to do with your election. Now, if you're elected, you will do good works. Amen. Absolutely. But being born again. Amen. Coming into the covenant. That's what was predestinated for you. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. You better believe it. Amen. If you want to receive, that's what you've got to have revealed to your heart tonight. Amen. Being an overcomer in this age, in this Laodicean age, it's all about election. Those that are elected to it will do it. Those that are predestinated will overcome. They will. Amen. That's what God has already done. Everything in that covenant, he's already done. Amen? Hallelujah. So, what are we afraid of tonight? Amen. What can the devil throw at you? You say, well, he can throw a lot at me. That's true. He threw everything he had at Jesus. Yes, sir. The Bible says he was tempted at all points, all ways. I mean, he threw the kitchen sink at him. Amen? But he can't throw anything at you that God hasn't approved. Because there has to be a purpose behind it. Amen? So we've got to trust him. So what are we fearing? What are we afraid of? Say, well, I'm afraid because I've got a family member that's not saved. I've got a loved one. Amen? They're not saved. I've got a child. They're not saved. It looks bad. Of course. But God has promised you something. He's promised as part of the covenant that you can ask for their salvation. Amen. You say, oh, maybe if I fast and maybe if I, you know, just listen, just turn the tape on for 24/7 and I fast and I pray and all I hear is the message. You know, I'm sure there's value in that. I mean, I'm not saying that wouldn't be a bad thing. I'm sure that would help you. Sometimes we need to fast or something that to get us in tune to what God is doing. But really, that's all it is, right? It's to crucify our flesh so that we can hear what he's saying. Amen. So it's a little bit clearer what he's promised to us, right? We're not gonna do those works to try and make God do something for us. He's already done it. Amen. Whatever it takes for you to let go. And maybe you need to do something like that to get to a place where you can let go and receive it. Amen. But the promise is without condition. Amen. If we've passed from death unto life, we've been changed. Amen. Brother Branham says that when that happens, just move on. Just go on. Don't worry about these other things. Move on. Go on with God. Trust him. Let him take care of it. Amen? So I want my loved one to be delivered. I want restoration in my family. Take that promise and don't let go. Amen. Amen. Receive it. Accept it tonight. Say, God, your word says that I can ask for anything in your name. Amen. Take your hands off of it. Let him take care of it. Amen. He's the only one that can fix it for you. But we just got to hold. Amen. We've got to do something. We always have to have something to do. Some part in it. But that's not how it goes. It's let go. Let go and let God. What you're holding on to is just the promise. Amen. You're holding to the promise. You're not trying to keep your hand on the situation. You're holding to the promise. Amen. Hold on until it's revealed to you. Until it becomes a revelation and then it's manifested. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Let me read a little statement here from accepting God's provided way. At the end time, he says, well, that's the way we're supposed to do. He says, if I see a promise in the Bible that's God's word, then I just stay there and cry out until God gives it to me. Right. And he would do that. Get you off his hands. See, that would be in the natural. But he's wanting to do it. So he says, in the natural, somebody would do it, right? We know the parable that Jesus told of the man, the importunate man who was just like, right, on the bugging and bugging and bugging until he got his way, right? And that's what he said. He said, in the natural, he would just do it to get you off his hands. But he says, but he's wanting you to do it. He likes for you to ask. Amen. Ask abundantly that your joy might be full. Yeah. Cry until his word is vindicated. Now, friend, let's just watch a minute now. Cry until the word is vindicated. The trouble of it is we get a cookie and think that's all there is. So what he's saying by that is, and he says there's a whole table full. Right? If the enemy can lie to you and get you satisfied with just a little bit, right? Then he can keep you from going on to receive all that belongs to you. It was kind of like Israel when they were supposed to go on and take over the land, but you know they defeated some enemies on this side of the Jordan, and they said, "Man, that's great. This is awesome. We're good." Right? We don't need to go any farther. Well, they just got a cookie. Yeah. Amen? They didn't get the whole table that was full for them. Right. He says, the whole table full. He says, we can speak in tongues. We can say, oh, brother, that's it. Oh, no, that ain't. That's just some of it. Oh, I got happy enough to shout. There's some more of it. There's a whole lot more of it. Just keep crying. That's God's provided way for his people. God's provided way is to take his word, hold on to it until it's vindicated to you. Now, do you follow me? God's provided way. Hold on to the promise until it's made manifest for you. Amen. Remember, brother, sister, he's the angel of the covenant. The angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant, makes sure that he fulfills his part. Amen. And what is his part? Anything in that word. Anything that's promised to the believer. He's already purchased it for you. This is from the token message. Excuse me. He says, now that same Jesus that was raised up from the dead is right here now. Now listen. The word can't say one thing and mean another. He said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Is that right? Now, look up this way as you do. How many here is sick? Raise up your hands. Just say, I'm sick or needy. You don't have to be sick. Just say, I have need of God. Brother Branham, I have need of God for something. I believe Jesus is here. Now, he says, hold your token right over that desire. Now, what is the token? The token, of course, we know is the Holy Ghost. Right? The token is the proof that you're in the covenant. Amen. So what you do is you bring the proof and you say, Lord, this is, you gave this to me. Amen. To show that this whole covenant is my possession. And so I'm here for it. I'm here to receive. That's what he said. Hold your token right over that desire. He says, now let me tell you by his word, he cannot go contrary to that word. He's already purchased your desire. Amen. If it's according to his will, and his will is to heal, his will is to give you your desire, he'll withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before him, presenting that token. He's already purchased it. Amen? It already belongs to you. All you have to do is receive it tonight.
Yes.
Amen. Do you believe Jesus is here tonight?
Yes.
Amen. One final quote here tonight. Questions and answers. He says, now on the day of Pentecost, it come down, that pillar of fire broke apart like this, and tongues of fire set on each of them. Not their tongues, but tongues of fire set on each one of them. An elected, selected group, identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into man. Do you get it? God, the Logos, separating himself into man. Not in one person. He's in the church universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works that I do shall you also more. Now I go to King James says greater, but the right translation there is more than this shall you do. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ, but now he's bottled and confined in the whole universal church of the living God.
Amen.
Right now, while God is here speaking with us in our hearts, he's in Africa, he's in Asia, he's in Europe, he's in England. Wherever believers are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And brother, sister, he's here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Wherever the eagles are gathered, there the carcass is. Amen. Wherever two or three are gathered, there he is. Why? Because he promised that he would be. Amen. He's the angel of his covenant, and he's on the scene tonight to make good of every promise that's in that covenant. All we've got to do, brother, sister, is receive it. Amen. We've got to hold up the token and say, Lord, I'm part of the covenant. I'm here to receive it tonight. Amen. I'm here to collect. Amen. We do it out of boldness. We do it out of an attitude towards the devil who tries to keep us from it. But we don't do it out of arrogance. We do it out of humility, realizing that we did nothing to earn it, nothing to deserve it, but that it does belong to us. Amen. And no demon in hell is going to keep us from it. That's where we've got to get an attitude. Amen. They'll try and hold you down. They'll try and hinder you. They'll try and pull cold water on you to keep you from grabbing a hold of that promise. They'll say, who do you think you are? Look, I don't know, Satan, I'm a nobody, whatever. It doesn't matter who I am. All that matters is he chose me. All that matters is he predestinated me. All that matters is I've got this token. Amen. That proves I'm in that covenant. Amen. And that means you've got to move, devil. Hallelujah. The same one, brother, sister, that spoke to that storm, he's here tonight.
Amen.
He can speak to your storm tonight.
Amen.
He said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him.
Amen.
Amen. That's the angel of this covenant. That same one is here tonight. Amen. You've got a storm in your life. Let him speak to the storm. Say, oh God. Amen. I need you right now, Lord, to speak to the storm in my life. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, the one that called those from the grave, those that were dead, buried, rotting in the grave, and he called them out, raised them from the dead. Amen. He took death and he sent it packing. Amen. That same one is here tonight. He's here to make us alive and to quicken us. Amen. He's here to save that loved one. What did Brother Branham say about that? He said, hold the token over them.
Hallelujah.
Right? That's what he said. So it's the same thing. Amen. We're holding the token out saying, Lord, I'm part of the covenant. This is one of my promises. This token says that I'm entitled to it. And so I want to collect on it. Lord, I'm holding this token out, believing that you're going to save my loved one. Amen. Amen. The same one that parted the Red Sea, that was with Moses. Amen. The same one that removed every obstacle from the children of Israel. That one's here tonight. That same pillar of fire that confused the enemy. Amen. And led them over dry ground right through the Red Sea. That same pillar of fire that then drowned all of those demons that had oppressed them. Hallelujah. Those Egyptian taskmasters. That same one is here tonight. Oh, glory. He's here. Amen. That same one that when the enemy came against him, when he walked the shores of Galilee and he came up to those that man that was bound by demons, a legion of demons. Right. Amen. And all he had to say was go. Right. Go. That same one is here tonight. That one that spoke and said, leave. Get out of here, Satan.
Right.
Hallelujah. Those demons of addiction, he sent them packing. Amen. Amen. Those demons of depression, demons of addiction, demons of suicide, he sent them packing.
Amen.
Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Demons of lust, demons of fear, go.
Amen.
Amen. That one that spoke is here tonight. Amen. He's in our presence. He's in our midst. Why? Because he promised. Because he promised. Why do we have such blessings? Because he promised. Amen. Satan has to leave tonight because he promised. Because our Savior promised. Brother, sister, we will overcome. Why? Because he promised. We're going to make it. Amen. Sometimes you feel like I'm not going to make it. You are going to make it because he promised. No demon's going to keep you back from it. Sometimes we feel like a punching bag for the devil. Amen? And sometimes it's just boom, boom, punch after punch after punch. And you feel like, I can't take any more. I can't go on. But you will. And you will overcome because he promised. We are overcomers. We will be victorious because he promised. Amen. Not by our might, not by our power, but because he promised.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Brother, sister, one of these days, we're going to walk into a new body. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to have a body that never gets sick, never gets old, never gets weary, never has fear, never doubts.
Amen.
Never has that feeling of dread. Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't worry about tomorrow. Doesn't worry about the future. Doesn't let things eat at it. No, that will all be gone.
Amen.
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 We're going to have that new body. We're going to have that millennium. We're walking towards that tonight. Amen. Why? Because he promised it.
Amen.
Amen. So, brother, sister, let's keep walking tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let the enemy steal your joy tonight. Amen. We are the people of the promise. We are the ones that he has called. Amen. And of all people, we should be walking in joy. Sure, we have our troubles. But
We've got a promise tonight. Amen. Amen. We should just walk and trust in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many have a need tonight? You just want to lift up your hand. And we do this because we're lifting our hands because we have a need. There's something in our heart tonight. Something that's been weighing on us. Something that maybe it's one of the things that we mentioned tonight, a loved one, maybe a tormenting spirit, maybe something, a weakness in your life. Maybe you need healing. Whatever the need is, it doesn't matter what the need is. He promised. Amen. He's got a promise for you tonight. And you lifting up your hand, you're saying, God, I receive that promise for me tonight. Lord, I'm here tonight. I know that you are here, Lord. And I'm here to meet with you. And I want to receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ. So you lift up your hands. Amen. You're not lifting them to me. You're lifting them to God tonight. Say, Lord, I identify with this word, Lord. I want to receive what's coming to me, Lord. You see the hands throughout the building. Oh, God, my hand is up tonight, Lord. Lord, we're your children tonight. Lord, we're here because you have predestinated us to be here. Lord, you've elected us, Lord God. Lord, we've received your word in this hour. Lord, and your word tells us, oh God, that we are to receive these promises, oh God, that we are to be overcomers in this hour. Lord, that we can take the token, oh God, the Holy Spirit that you've given to us, Lord. The proof, oh God, that we are under this covenant, this wonderful, unconditional grace covenant, Lord, has nothing to do with our performance, oh God, but it's simply because you promised it to us. Lord, we're here tonight to receive what we have need of. Lord, your children, they're lifting up their arms tonight. They're lifting up their hands to you, oh God. They're lifting up their hearts to you. They're saying, oh God, come, Lord, move on my situation, oh God. Lord, we see how you moved and you moved Pharaoh's army right out of the way. Oh God, I need that kind of movement tonight. Oh God, I need your deliverance. Lord, I need you to be that for me tonight. I need you to be my deliverer, Lord. I need you to be my healer, oh God. Just reach up your hand to him tonight, oh brother, sister. Lord, reach out and take a hold of that promise. He's made that promise to you. Lord, I pray that you would just go and meet every need here tonight, oh God. Lord God, I pray that you would just raise faith tonight. Lord, that you would drive away unbelieving spirits from this building tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Any spirit that would try and hinder your children, Lord, from grabbing a hold of what belongs to them. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, sister, you just reach out right now. Amen. You believe God. You judge him faithful who made the promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, may you meet every need tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you begin to worship him, brother, sister. You begin to thank him for what he's done. Amen. You begin to move into that sphere, that atmosphere of worship and praise. Amen. As your faith in him just begins to soar tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, you're so good, Lord. You're so worthy. Amen. Just worship him, brother, sister. Amen. Let's receive everything that he died for. Hallelujah. He took those stripes so that you could be healed tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He paid an awful price at Calvary so that you could have the promise tonight. Oh, glory to God. How we love you, Lord. Amen. Let's worship him, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Just lift his name. Exalt him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He's in our midst tonight, brother, sister. Amen. The angel of the covenant, he's here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can touch him tonight. Amen. It's up to you to cry out, to reach out, to touch the hem of his garment tonight. Hallelujah. Him tonight, amen. Just reach out and touch the hem of his garments. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen close. Here, calling out your name tonight, amen. Oh, you're my child. I predestinated you. You is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. One more time. He is. Oh, do you believe that he's here, brother, sister? Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen close. In the house. Amen. Hallelujah. He's in the house. Death has to flee. Now there is life where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping, but as he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to used to be. Now there is hope. Oh, there's no more doubt. Praise his name. He's in the house again. A little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. It was death. They just laughed at Jesus when she said she's only sleeping. Hallelujah. And as he took her by the hand, she began to live again.
Touched this heart of mine and gave me life again. I'm just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in.